Praise God.
Amen. Well, put your hands together for Jesus. He is the only one who is worthy to receive all praise and glory and honor. Amen. I'm sure you can do better than that. Praise God. Praise. He deserves all the glory. He deserves all praise. Amen. Praise God. Why don't you stand before we sit down? Thank you, Lord. Let's lift our hands to heaven. Lord Jesus, we honor you. Your name is above every name. There is no other name like your name, Lord. It's an excellent name. And we speak that name over this meeting. And wonderful, blessed Holy Spirit, we welcome you. And Spirit of God, we ask that you open the word of life to us. And we will see Jesus. And once again, Lord, we take the blood of thy covenant. And everything we do, we bring it under the blood of Jesus. That your anointing will rest upon this place. To touch, to heal, and to revive. And to accomplish all what you desire to accomplish in and through your word. And we give you all the praise and all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Please be seated. It's always a joy and a privilege to come and serve you and come and serve your pastors. And as I was waiting upon the Lord, and the Lord put in my heart to share with you, being a mighty tool in the hand of God. How many wants to be a mighty tool in the hand of God? Some of you are not sure. Let me ask again. How many of you want to be a mighty tool in the hand of God? Amen. So I want you to open your heart and open your mind and let your spirit take hold of what God has to say to you today. Amen. The word of God says, where two or three gathered, there am I in the midst. So Jesus is right here. I want you to believe it by faith. The Lord is here to meet every need. Doesn't matter what need you may have, God is here to meet that need. Amen. Praise God. Once I was flying back home from a ministry trip, and I was somewhat relaxing in the flight because I had a heavy schedule. And in the midair, the Lord began to speak to me. And he said to me, the church is by and large crying out and saying, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And the Lord said to me, I'm also crying, where are the Elijahs of God? And so God in the last days want to raise you up. This church is going to be a mighty tool in the hand of God. If you believe, it's a good place to say amen. Praise God. Church is you and me. Amen. It's not a building. It's us. And so I want to take you to 1 Kings 17 verse 1. I'm going to share some scriptures because I want the word of God to speak to you today, because when the word speaks, faith is born, right? Amen. And here it is. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, one of the most important things we find is that Elijah knew that his God was alive. Do you know that your God is alive? Revelations 1, 17 and 18 says, fear not, I'm the first and the last. I'm he that liveth who was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. And all God's people said, amen. I have the keys of death and hell. The first thing is, you got to know that your God is alive. He's not a dead God. He's alive. He's risen. There's something that we can shout about. Amen. All the other gods are dead, but our God is alive. Amen. And the second thing I want you to see is, before whom I stand. The second principle is that he has a continuous union and communion with God, whom I stand. These are the key to being a mighty tool in the hand of God. The third thing is, he said, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. His words became God's word. God's word became his word. One more time. First, he knew that God is alive. Number two, he had a continuous union and communion with God. And number three, his word became God's word and God's word became his word. Amen. Now, Let me take you to a scripture and just take you step by step. In John 15 and verse 16, Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Is that right? Now, if you look that word up in Greek, chosen means to invite, to summons. Aren't you glad that God has summoned you? Aren't you glad that God has invited you? Amen. What a great calling. Amen. Now, the question is this. You will say, why did God invite me? All right. Let me take you to Mark chapter 3 and verse 13. I want to show you. Why did God invite you and me? All right. Brandon, you want to read?
And he went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him.
Okay, 14.
Then he appointed 12.
Yeah.
That they might be with him.
Now, let's stop there. That they might be with him. God called you and me to be with him. This is the key. To be with whom? With Jesus. That's the key. To be with Jesus. He chose us. He called us for one reason, to be with him. And then it continues that he might send them out to preach. I'm glad Pastor is preaching about fishing. Amen. And he's going to continue on this tomorrow, next Sunday. Right? Because Jesus called us for one reason, to be with him. Think about how it would be to be with him. When you are with him, you become a mighty tool in the hand of God. Amen. Now, saints of God, let me take you a bit further. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 16, verse 11, in his presence, there is fullness of joy. And when you're with Jesus, there's always joy. And Jesus said in Matthew 28, 20, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When you're with Jesus, he's always with you. Amen. All right. Now, question. Why does he want you to be with him? Because he wants to transform you into his image. 2 Corinthians 3, 18 says this. Yes.
But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen. He wants to transform you into his very image. I love that scripture in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. It's one of my favorite scriptures. And I'm going to read it to you. Right? And look what it says. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained. They didn't go to UWA. They didn't go to Harvard, Yale, Stanford, Cambridge, Oxford, nowhere. They were unlearned and untrained men. Think about it. But I like that. Men, they marvel that they realize that they have been with whom? Jesus. That's the only qualification you and I need. Nothing else. That if you have been with Jesus, it will transform your life. It will change your life. You will never, ever be the same again. I was worshiping there and the Lord reminded me, there's somebody with a back problem. You got a problem in your spine and there is a bone in your spine. It is inflamed. But as I'm speaking to you, the Lord is healing you. Because Jesus is in the house. And that pain will never come back again. Amen. All right. Now, one more time. When you're with Jesus, he will transform you. Amen. So, amazing. The reason Jesus wants you to be with him, because he wants to change you into his very image. Amen. Now, then the question is this. How does God look like? What is his image? All right. Let me take you and show you something. Go with me to Genesis 17 and verse 1. Genesis 17 verse 1. Now Abraham has a revelation here. And it says, yes.
When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God.
Now, let's stop there. I am the Almighty God. The word El Shaddai mean I'm all-powerful, almighty, but at the same time, that word also reveals that he's all-caring. It's like a mother, it's like a feeding mother. On one side, God is all-powerful. On the other side, he's loving and he's caring. Hello? Remember, our subject is being a mighty tool in the hand of God. Jesus wants to transform us into his image. Is that right? Amen. So one side, we still look at God. He's all-powerful. He can do anything. On the other side, he's loving and he's caring. Is that right? Amen. Now, let me show you from the scripture. In Jeremiah 32 and 27, the word of God says, I'm the God of all flesh, if there's anything too hard for me. And in Job 9 and verse 10 says, he does great things past finding out. Yes, wonders without numbers. He can do anything. Hello? But then you see the other side in Isaiah 40 and verse 11. Right? You want to read it for me?
He will feed his flock like a shepherd.
Yeah.
He will gather the lambs with his arm.
Yeah.
And carry them in his bosom.
Yeah.
And gently lead those who are with young.
Amen. Aren't you glad we're serving a God that is full of compassion, loving and caring, yet he's almighty? Amen. So once again, God has chosen you. If you don't know, that I want you to know today, that God has called you and chosen you for one reason. If you did not get anything, remember this, to be with Jesus. Are you with me? Why? Because when you're with Jesus, he will transform you into his very image. And so we just looked at the image of God. On one side, all-powerful, almighty. On the other side, loving and caring and compassion. All right? Let's look at Jesus. The Bible says in Colossians 1, 15, he's the express image of God. You want to read it?
He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation.
You see Jesus, you've seen God. And Hebrews 1 and verse 3.
Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high.
He's the express image of God. If you see Jesus, you've seen God. Amen. Amen. But here you can see the life of Jesus. He was almighty. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He walked on water. Hello. He cleansed the leper. So you see the power and the might and the authority of Jesus. But yet, in John 11, 35, the Bible says he wept. He wept. He cried. I want you to see the two sides of God. One side, he's almighty. On the other side, he has compassion and loving and caring. Hello? Are you still awake? Are we still friends? All right. Now you say, you know, but that's Jesus. But let me show you about Paul. In Romans 15, 18 and 19... You want to read it for me?
For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient.
Mm-hmm. Now, look at that. He says, continue.
In mighty signs and wonders.
So he performed mighty signs and wonders. Continue.
By the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Arisium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ.
On one side, Paul, look at that. He performed mighty signs and wonders. Is that right? Amen. And when you go home, you can have a look. Acts 14 and verse 3 says too. Now, let me show you the other side of Paul. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us. He is compelled with the love. On one side, signs and wonders and miracles are wrought through his hands. On the other side, he's saying the love of God compels me. Do you see that? Just like God. On one side, mighty power. On the other side, love, compassion, and caring. And I love this scripture. In Romans 9 and verse 1 to 3, he said, I'd rather be a curse for my people that they'll be saved. He's willing to pay the price for others. Yet, God performs mighty signs and wonders through his hands. Hello? The world wants to see both. The world wants to see the power of God, but the world also wants to see the love, the caring, and the compassion. Are you with me? Because when they see, they know who God is. That's what we are raised up at this time and this hour to show forth the power and the love of Christ. Can I hear an amen? Praise God. Can I take you a bit further now? All right? Now, think about it. On one side, there is the power. On the other side, there is the love. So when we have the, let me put it this way, when we have the Spirit of God in our lives, not only we have the attributes of God, but his presence and his power confirms that God is with us. Are you with me? Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be a witness unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. You got to be a witness. Now, let me put it this way to you. When you have the Holy Spirit, he's a gift to us, but he gives heaven's gift to us. When the Spirit of God comes and his power comes, it influences us in our prayer life and also our walk with God on this earth. Amen. Now, I'm sure you all know in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 10, we have all the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, the gifts of the Holy Spirit gives us the power of God. Because when you operate in the gifts, the world knows that God is with you. I encourage my church and I encourage you that seek after all gifts. Praise God. Because the world is looking for the gifts. Amen. And the politicians need you to speak into their lives. Amen. Because when you operate in the gifts, they know that God is with you. I remember a man, an overseas man, if I say to you, you already know his name, but I don't want to mention the name. He was extremely rich, and I had to minister to him. And I remember as I was speaking to him, the Lord told me he has a tremor in his finger. And so I said to him, sir, you have a tremor in your finger, and you can't have children. The word of knowledge came to me, and I began to speak to him. And he began to cry. He's not even a Christian. He's a Muslim. He began to cry. And he said, one thing he said, I know that God is with you. Because he said, nobody knows about this. Nobody. Only my mom and myself we know. Nobody else would know. See, God can tell you that. You know why? Because the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the power of God can penetrate into the hearts of men and women. Amen. I want to encourage you. I want to pray for you that you will not only have the power, but also the love and the compassion of God. Amen. Are you with me so far? Praise God. And when you have the gifts, you know, Bible says 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty. When you have the gifts of God, they are powerful weapons in your hands. Hello. Amen. And then that's on one side. On the other side, you have the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23. You want to read for me, Brian? Yep.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace.
Remember, it's one fruit. Continue.
long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law.
Amen. So on one side, how many would say, I want to operate in God's power? On the other side, how many will say, I want to have that love, I want to have that compassion, the caring of God? Amen. And when they see that, they see Jesus in you. Amen. 1 John 4:8, God is love. God is love. But let me put it this way to you. Before I share about the power of God and the love of God a bit more, I want to remind you one more time. Remember, we talked about Elijah. Is that right? We talked about three things. One is Elijah knew that his God is alive. Correct. Do you know that your God is alive? Amen. And number two, he had a continuous union and communion with his God. It's not just Sunday that you begin to think about God. No, no, no. It's every day, every moment, every second, every hour. We only walk because he's alive and we walk with him. And number three, his words must become our words. Our words must become his words. You see, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my word. Is that right? And my Father and I will come and make our abode in you. So you can't say, Jesus, I love you, and never know the word. If you don't know the word, you don't love Jesus. Hello? Somebody said, Pastor, your Bible is falling apart. I said, that's why I'm not. Hello? Your feet may stumble, but the word will never crumble. This word will stay alive. When the rubber hits the road, that's the only thing that will stand. The word of God. Amen. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the Father's mouth. Remember, let me share something. The Holy Spirit just reminding me. Say this after me. I must frame my world. I must frame my world with his word. Come on, one more time. One more time. One last time. Now, Pastor, Doctor said something. Post-stress disorder. And he said, you know, it mimics. Correct? You said, you see in your conscience, sometimes things come. Fear comes and gives you a picture. Hello, hello. Is that right? And now what happens is there are frames in your conscience, in your mind. And the devil wants to put frames, picture frames. But what must you do? You got to take it out and put God's word on it. Come on. You got to frame your world with his word. Because that's the only thing that's going to give you victory. Hello? So now, if you have framed your conscience and your mind with only the word of God, that's all you're going to see. Is that right? Hello? And when the devil tried to mimic, he can't mimic anymore because you don't have that picture there. Correct? Praise God. So get the word of God in you. Then just like Elijah, your word will become his word. His word will become your word. I remember I was in States preaching. And this person came and I began to speak the word. And I was listening to what I was saying. And I said, Lord, could it be true? And you know what the Lord said to me? You speak the word and I'll make it happen. I said, thank you, Jesus. Are you with me? You know, when the word of God is in you, all he wants you to do is to speak the word and the Lord will do the rest. Amen. Are you with me? And remember this. If you forget me, that's fine. But I want you to remember, God has chosen you. 12 disciples turn the world right side up. There are more than 12 here. You can turn Ellenbrook. You can turn Perth. You can turn Australia right side up. Hello? This hour, God has chosen you. You're not here by accident today. God called you. God chose you. Do you know eternity does not have time? Eternity is not conformed to time. God saw long before even you were born before. He saw you and he called you. He knew your name. And he knew on this day, at this time, you'll be seated here. He knows you tomorrow. Because he has chosen you. He has called you. You're not an accident. Come on, talk to me now. Are you with me? And for one reason he called you, so that you can be with whom? Jesus. Hello? Aren't you glad? You have a purpose in life. Why? That purpose is to be with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Amen. And sister, when you, I don't know your name, when you go home today, I want you to know something is happening in your home. Your home will be different. Because Jesus is going to walk with you. And the things that you could not resolve all the years, it's going to be resolved. Because why? Jesus is alive. He's alive. Amen. And why does he want you to be with him? Because he wants to change you. He wants to transform you into his image. And what is God's image? One side, all power. And the other side, love, caring, and compassion. That's what Ellenbrook wants to see. That's what Perth wants to see. That's what Australia wants to see. That's what the world wants to see. Are you with me? I went to her home to pray for somebody Friday. I took my office manager with me. And we walked into a place and they were dabbling with all kinds of things, witchcraft, everything. You know. And if you walk into that place, it's demonic. But I spoke about Jesus. I said, only Jesus can set you free. But I didn't beat them down with the Bible. I showed them love. Hello? And also at the same time, you demonstrate the power of God with love. Hello? Are you with me? Because that's the only language the humans will see. Come on. Amen. Praise God. Can I take you a bit further? I just want to quickly talk to you about and just stir up the gifts that God has put in you. Amen. Every one of you have a gift. Every one of you have a talent. But I want to talk to you about the gifts of the Holy Spirit because it's available for you and me. Hello? And it's free. You know why? Jesus paid it on the cross of Calvary for us. So why do you reject it? It is free. I was in a meeting in India and I was the second speaker. And when this man, he's gone to be with the Lord, when he speaks, 800 to 900,000 come to see him. His name is Dinakaran. And he will tell names and he will say that Jesus is visiting this person and he will tell them by name and everything, all the details. And so I'm there and now I said, Lord, it is unfair. Because God says in his word, God is no respecter of person. Come on. If God can do it for him, why can't God do for me? He died for me too. I don't know about that. He's my daddy. I speak to my daddy. That's the way. Hello? Are you with me? So I said, Lord, it's unfair. And so I remember the next meeting I had, and I'm in the prayer closet, and I've come there, and I'm there, and I was beginning to speak. And in the middle of the service, the Lord said to me, there's a lady with a big growth in the back of her neck. Say it. I froze, sister. I froze. My knees were having fellowship one with another. And the devil said, what if it is not there? What will they do? And then I opened my eyes and I saw two television cameras on me. And I said, I'm finished. Because it's not only this crowd, but think about the crowd that's watching. But then I have to rise myself, and something within me rose up. And I said, if I want to be a fool, I'd rather be a fool for Jesus. And you know what? The moment I opened my mouth, and I said, Lord, I'm going to trust you. You see, when you begin to operate in that God's power, trust Him. Trust Him. Say, I must trust God. Come on, one more time. One more time. He will not fail you. He will not disappoint you. He will not fail you. He's faithful. And so I opened my mouth and I said, there's a lady here. She has a growth in the back of her neck. Jesus wants to heal. And did you know she didn't even wait? She came running in these thousands of people. She came running. I said, thank you, Jesus. And the moment I said, God gave me the next one, the next one, the next one. Because God is waiting to operate through your life. Not just when you come on Sunday. What about work? And I don't know whom I'm going to inspire, but the Lord wants me to say this. Is it okay, Pastor? You know, I used to be the company secretary for Fairfax. I don't mind telling you that. And so I'm in the board meeting one day, and we had newspapers. And we had newspapers, and we had the board meeting. And all the top-notch, I can name you names, all of us are in a board meeting. And we have a competitor. And every board meeting, we used to discuss about this newspaper. Every news, because he has come in and all these things. So I remember in the middle of the board meeting, they know I'm a pastor. So we have about 2 minutes talk. Pastor, where did you go on a mission? And then we shift the agenda. And then suddenly the Lord said to me, leave the boardroom, go to your office and make this call. So I went out and I phoned, just like the Lord did. I phoned this person and I said, you know what? And I phoned the competitor's office. And I said, I want all your invoices. I want all your circulation figures. I want everything. Nobody asked who I was. They faxed everything to me. And I'm coming back into the boardroom with all the information they ever wanted in life. And they said, how did you do it? My God did it. Come on. What about your workplace? What about your workplace? God wants to operate in your workplace. Amen. Because you are the power of God in your workplace. You are the light in this world. What about your neighbor? They might be sick and they have no way out. Who is the healer? Jesus in you is the healer. Hello. They have no wisdom today. And what about you? You are the wisdom because Jesus in you is the wisdom. Come on, talk to me. Amen. It is time, church, we rise up. Amen. And so I just want to take you through a few things. The Bible talks about the word of wisdom. Is that right? The wisdom that comes in a form of a word. Wisdom that comes in a form of a word. In Joshua 10:12, Joshua is fighting and wisdom comes to him. And Joshua turns and speaks the word and said, sun and the moon, it will stop. I mean, if Joshua can stop, why can't we stop? We have a name that is above all names. Come on, talk to me now. Is that right? The name of Jesus. God is no respecter of person. If it is good for Joshua, it's good for me. What about you? Amen. Praise God. Now, let me take you a bit further. The word, I remember there was a lady once. She came, she got saved under our ministry. And so she come one day, she rang. She doesn't live in this country, she lives in another country. And she said, I did a business dealing. She's a businesswoman. I lost half a million US dollars. And because this guy took it away, I put the money in and it's all vanished. And this is our savings. And she's crying. And I said, sister, let me pray for you. And as I prayed, the Lord gave me a word of wisdom. And I said, next week, you will have a contract. And before even you sign the contract, the person will put $500,000 into your account. And when I was saying, Lord, is that true? The Lord said, say it. And so I said it. And you know, to this day, if I go to that nation, she will treat me like a king. Because she knows the next week, $500,000 was in a bank account. Not because of me. I'm only a postman. But because Jesus wants to work through your life. to show that you are the vessel, you are the tool in the mighty hand of God. Are you with me? And then what about the word of knowledge? The word of knowledge. I mean, in Daniel 11:32, can you read it for me? Are you all okay? Yes. Are we still friends? Yes. Amen. Praise God. Brother, I don't know whether you are in business or not, but God's going to give you one and prosper you. But when he does, remember it's God who gives you the power to make wealth. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and do what? Exploit. You got to know God. And you know how knowing God comes? Through the knowledge of God. The word of wisdom gives you the knowledge about the God that you're serving. Amen. Are you with me? Now, let me take you to scripture. Go to Hosea 4:6. You got to know this. You got to know this. Hosea 4:6. Thank you. Thank you. I won't keep you much longer. Are you okay? Are we still friends? All right. Thank you.
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Let me read it. Let me read it. My people are destroyed for lack of music. No? Okay. My people are destroyed for lack of hospitality, entertainment. No, they're destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge, godly knowledge. When you know God, you will do exploits. Amen. Praise God. Right. Anyway, when later you can just read the scripture. So, word of knowledge is important. It tells me all about God. Right? Then what about discerning of spirits? In Acts 16:16, remember this woman was following Paul, and she said the right thing, but Paul perceived it's an evil spirit, a spirit of divination. And he said, come out of her. And it came out. But let me share this with you. Every day you encounter three kinds of spirits. God's spirit. John 4:24, God is a spirit. Is that right? Human spirit, which is the real you, and the evil spirit. And when the evil spirit you encounter, you better know it's evil spirit. Hello? Come on. Are you with me? All right. So the power of God gives us the ability to discern. Amen. All right. Now, what about the other gifts? Quickly, before I pray for you. What about tongues? 1 Corinthians 14:14. 1 Corinthians 14:2. What about tongues? Think about, you know, when God gives you supernatural language, the language that you never learned before, never heard before, never spoken before, but and you speak it, it is supernatural. Hello? Are you with me? Praise God. It is supernatural. And you're speaking unto God. Even the devil doesn't know what you're speaking. Praise God. Today we're going to pray that God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. What about prophecy? Numbers 11:29. Moses said, I wish all of you are prophets. Come on. Smile. Hello. You know, when you come to the house of God, you got to smile. You got to smile. Joy of the Lord is my... Come on, say, joy of the Lord is my strength. Come on. Amen. In God, nothing is lost. Hello. I mean, think about, they're kicking a football, just a ball, and they're not even getting paid, and they're shouting for something, nothing. And they're paying and buying a ticket and going to shout. Is that right? But your God is alive. He's risen. And he's there to give you all what you need in life. So we got to shout about it. Is that right? Praise God. Praise God. Prophecy. I mean, you can, because the world is waiting. They need to know what's going to happen. I remember I was doing a pastor's conference in Milan. I'm just stirring you up. And on the way back, it's a 23-hour flight. And the Lord said to me, this is before the global financial crisis started. So God said to me, I want you to write a book from there to by the time you arrive in Perth. So I wrote that book, How to Prosper in, when there's global financial crisis, before even it happened, I wrote the book. So now I came and I shared in the church. There's a businessman. Whenever he comes from Indonesia, he comes to the church. He's one of the richest men in Asia. So now he says to me, he was with his daughter. His daughter reminded him, remember, Dad, what you said when the pastor preached about global financial crisis and he said to you that the banks are going to collapse? He told the daughter, I have so much shares in the bank and it will never happen. And the next day, it all went down and flat. Do you know God is able to show you things? Come on. Are you with me? You're a child of God. You're a child of God. You're not an ordinary person. You're an extraordinary person. You're a child of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. Jesus, the risen Savior, lives in you. You know what's going to happen because Jesus said the Holy Spirit will come and show you things to come. So you don't have to wait for a prophet to come. You know if you ask. Amen. Praise God. What about, I will close with this. What about, we talked about discerning. What about you have the tongues? What about interpretation of tongues? It's a small gift sort of sandwiched in, but yet it's so important. Interpretation of tongues is, it's the correct definition goes like this. Implied or exact meaning of a word. Implied or exact meaning of a word. Remember Moses? In Exodus 17 and verse 6, God told him, when you see that rock, take the rod and strike it. Is that right? But next time, he comes to Numbers 20 and verse 8, right? This time God said, don't strike, but speak. But if he understood the exact meaning of the word, he wouldn't have done that. Come on. I had a man of God who said this. He's gone to be with the Lord. But I'll never, ever forget. And I want to leave that with you. Is that okay? Are we still friends? All right. All right. Now, he said to me something. He said 6 months he was away in States. And he came back. And while he was flying back home, the Lord told him, when you go back home, I want you to buy a car. A particular car, he said to him. And this is the car I want you to buy. And so he came back and he inquired. And the price was so high. And he decided not to. And then his daughter was driving in the car that they had. And a bus came and hit. And the daughter died. He went to God. And he said, Lord, why did this happen? And the Lord said to him, did you know I told you to change the car? Because if it was the other car, she would have survived. And so he learned a lesson, he said to me that day. He learned whenever God speaks to him, he asks one question. Is it optional or is it compulsory? Is that a good lesson? Is that right? You know, we don't listen sometimes. So every time, it has really taught me a lesson. To ask God. That's what the word of interpretation does. Interpretation, gift of interpretation of tongues does. Because it gives you the exact meaning or implied meaning of that word. When God asks you to do something, ask God. Is it optional or is it compulsory? Do I need to do now or can I wait later? Hello? Come on. And don't blame God for it. Because you didn't ask the right question. Hello? Are you with me? Praise God. Did you learn anything? God wants you to be a mighty tool in his hand. Amen. Why don't we stand? Thanks for listening to me. Praise God. Let's lift our hand and just worship. Who is playing the keyboard today?